Hey friends, I want to quickly share with you a new podcast series that we are going to have here at the Wrestle Project this spring, and it's a series about Lent. Megan and I can't wait to explore this liturgical season with you guys. We'll be following along with our devotional Empty, and so we invite you to join us however it fits well with your schedule by listening to the podcast, purchasing a physical guide, or joining us in our online group, or doing it with a group yourself. We've got lots of options. And every week, what we're going to do is release a podcast episode that correlates with our study. So we hope that you enjoy learning more about Lent and just emptying yourself as you get ready for the coming and of the resurrection of Christ with Easter. So join us every week on the podcast as we explore this new series. See you soon. Bye. Hey friends, today I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled that you guys get to listen to my interview with Amy Brady of Evergreen Soul Wellness. I first happened upon Amy's experience, I think is the best way that you say it, just her knowledge and her wisdom and her guidance a few years ago. When I did a Lent study of Amy's. And what I love is just her thoughtfulness and the way that she wants to partner with women in going deeper in their relationship with Christ. Amy is a certified Ignatian spiritual director. She's a master yoga instructor, content creator, therapeutic and trauma-informed yoga instructor, and she's also a grandmother, which I think is her biggest honor. And so I'm just really encouraged by this podcast interview today. And I hope that you get to listen to it before your Lent journey begins. But even if you happen upon this halfway through Lent, I really think it's going to enrich your soul. So it's a must. So I look forward to you listening and we'll see you in there. Thanks. Bye. Amy, I'm so glad that you're here today. Thank you so much for joining us for our podcast. We're super excited to be talking about Lent with you.
Yes, I'm super excited to be here.
So, Amy, I first got connected with you through an email series that I was following for Polly's Planners. And I know you guys partnered together for an event, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. And I was so attracted to what you did with it, you know, helping people grow spiritually. And that was something that I was exploring myself at the time of, well, what could next steps be for me in ministry and in career? And I really loved getting to participate in your Lent series that you offered that year. So maybe share a little bit about yourself and your ministry and what led you to talk about Lent.
Oh yeah. A little bit about myself. I live in sunny Orlando, Florida, and I have been married, this year will be 32 years, to my sweet husband. And I have, thank you. I have two adult children. One of them has a fantastic human being now in his family. It's my grandson, and I'm obsessed and in love and all of the things they ever said it would be. And I have a lovely daughter-in-law. And I also have a daughter kind of by way of just a family situation. She's kind of been absorbed into our family. And then I have two girls still at home. So a high schooler and a middle schooler. And of course our fur babies. I started Evergreen Soul Wellness several years ago. I think it was probably 5 years ago. It was before the pandemic. So that, you know, I kind of like lose time now since then.
It's
like, was that before or after, or when was that? But I started it kind of as a place to just put all things into one basket that I've done for over 20, 25 years.
I understand.
Spiritual formation, yeah, spiritual formation has been kind of like my heartbeat most of my adult life. I benefited from it greatly. And therefore, as a woman and a mother, I hope and believe that my family and my children have benefited from that as well. I've been a professional speaker, written Bible studies. I do a lot of content creation for other groups or ministries. I became a trauma-informed master-level yoga instructor many years ago. Love that. Love that part of my life. And then I became a spiritual director. And that is definitely my deepest calling ever. And that's just kind of like doing one-on-one with someone as they kind of walk through their spiritual journey, and go through spiritual formation. It's kind of like having once a month, 1 hour to sit with someone and talk about how the external world affects your inner world, right. And where to find God in that, and, learning to see him in that or sense him in that. And then now I'm finishing up my certification. It's kind of an advanced spiritual direction certification, leading people through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. So that's a 9-month journey through the life of Christ. You know, you meet with your spiritual director once a week and you go through the scriptures about Jesus. And I heard someone once say, that it's, learning to become friends with Jesus. And it's just a beautiful experience. It richly touched my life. And I just had to turn around and learn how to share that with others. So
that's amazing.
That's a lot. I dabble is what I say. It's very hard for me to put all my eggs in one basket. So I like to have a lot of things to do.
I understand that completely. And that's when you and I first talked, you kind of helped guide me in that conversation of, well, what to do next and how to focus and spend your time. And I think as women who desire Jesus and want to share, like, you can't help but share that with others. So in all these ways that the Lord has led you to do it, I feel like everything is connected, and all the things that you learn along the way are then going to impact the life of someone else when they come and sit with you for spiritual direction.
Yes, I definitely agree. I definitely agree. Many times I sit there and I think, okay, it's all come to this. This is where it's all been leading.
That's really neat. Sometimes I still feel like I'm on the journey and I'm like, okay, what's next? Like, how does this all make sense? You know?
Yes. And, yeah.
But then that's when you lean in and just begin to listen and be prompted by Holy Spirit to take those next steps in your life, even if it doesn't really make sense at the time, you know, but just to go into that and then see what unfolds.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And that's where that learning of the spiritual formation and learning to trust really comes into play.
Right. I know you have read this in several of my readings about rest and practicing Sabbath time. It talks about when we begin to live a life based upon our purpose found in Jesus, that's when we actually do take that time to rest, because we trust, as you just said, that he's going to take care of us. And that's how that peace happens, by putting that trust in him, that it's not all up to ourselves. To take care of things, where the world tells us kind of this hustle and hurry cycle of, you've got to go, go, go. You've got to produce. And you think finally you'll get to a place where you can back off and everything's okay. But in reality, a lot of times you're just causing yourself anxiety, and and you have trouble sleeping, and maybe your eating habits are bad, you know, and it can lead to all these other things. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, when we're constantly feeling like we've got to do it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing that I feel like the Spirit is constantly teaching me in the last few years is this thing of ceasing from fixing.
Okay.
And that's constantly, I'm seeing ways that I try to fix my life that I never even noticed as trying to fix my life.
Oh, wow.
It fell under self-improvement. It fell under following my calling. It fell under my purpose. It fell under, this is just what you have to do. But ways that, whether it's relationships or, you know, your schedule or whatever, that even trying to fix everything so that we reach this very common facade of arrival, we lose track of everything else. I mean, we're just trying to constantly fix things so that it falls into this, we've arrived, everything's calm, everything's the same. I now have it all figured out. My schedule hums like a well-oiled machine. I know where I'm headed. It's all this like euphoric. It's asking a little too much heaven on earth.
Mm.
Those are the things that come to us when we're finally 100% at rest in His presence.
Wow.
We only get glimpses of those things here. And so if we're constantly chasing a heaven that only comes to us as a reward, then we're always going to feel like we're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And it's so hard for us to not live that way, because then it begins to ask things of us. Why do I need this to be fixed? What does it make me feel like when I realize this relationship or a difficult relationship, maybe with a family member or some other, I can't make this better?
Right.
I've done all the things.
Right.
I can't change it. So then I have to sit with it. And that's the last thing any of us ever want to do, is sit with anything that's unfinished.
Absolutely.
Right. It brings up too much.
Uncomfortable. That's right.
Right. But that discomfort is not a punishment. It's an invitation.
Correct.
It's an invitation to sit with Him, to come to Him like He asked us to in Matthew 11.
Right. It reminds me of the pruning, like, you know, in Scripture with I am the vine and you are the branches, you know, but
yeah.
Just the pruning process that kind of comes to my mind when you are talking about that discomfort. And it is an invitation, but it's so hard sometimes when you're in the middle of it. But then I think the more you do sit in it and the more you do begin to lean on Scripture and see Jesus as friend, as you mentioned before. And I think for me, like this past year, I've continued to go back to the promises of God. So even if I don't feel it, I have to trust in it, because I have to believe that that is my absolute truth, my big T truth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that gives me that hope, even if I don't feel it in the moment.
Yes, exactly. And that is what I feel, you know, that sitting in that discomfort is where, for me, years ago, when I started seeking guidance from a spiritual director, there's something so beautiful about someone who's committed to sit with you in it.
Mm.
Because anytime we feel that discomfort, we see ourselves there alone. We don't see Jesus with us in it. We just see ourselves going through it alone, having to figure something out. And having a spiritual director is someone who's trained to sit with you there. And that alone makes it more bearable. Someone you can say the things to, you can wrestle out, you can talk about things that we feel like we're not supposed to talk about, like your lack of trust that God's going to be there for you, or your anger towards God, or your sadness or disappointment. And you can sit in that discomfort with a friend who leads you to see the ultimate friend. You know, and that's been something that's made that discomfort more bearable for me personally.
Oh, I can see that. Because then it's almost, it's not an accountability partner where, you know, you're both trying to stay on track,
Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily, would you say spiritual direction is a counselor or like, but I do see it as a friend walking alongside, yes, you, helping you discern.
Yes.
The Lord.
It is. If you took the definition of the word counselor, yes. Yeah. Is it a therapist? No. In fact, many of my directees have both. They have me as a spiritual director and they have a therapist. A therapist comes to things from a more clinical and mm-hmm. systemic vantage point, you know, mm-hmm. like how are the family systems have affected you or how has a trauma affected you? Kind of, you know, more of a mental health, holistic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Spiritual direction gets into the areas that most therapists are not trained or asked to dip into with people. And that is, okay, but how has this affected your soul?
Mm-hmm.
How has this loss or this disappointment affected your soul, your relationship with God, times where you don't even realize you've begun to raise a barrier, or you have anger, or you have disappointment. You just know you feel disconnected. You just know you feel like he's not listening. You just know you feel like he's far away. These are things when people come to me, they start talking about. And back to the fixing thing, the number one thing I encounter in spiritual direction with others is this overwhelming sense of anxiety about their spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And having lived in that anxiety so many years of my life, I just find it such an oxymoron to what Jesus actually offers us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we are anxious that we're not doing something right in our spiritual life, we really, really have it wrong. We've really misunderstood what he offers us because we're coming at it from I must curate my journey spiritually. I must have this rhythm and I do this and I do this and all these things together make me close to God.
Right.
And that's not
in reality,
how he comes.
You're already chosen. Come,
yes.
Put everything down, sit with me.
Yes. Yes. And then that's where spiritual direction has, you know, hopefully your director will have great questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why do you feel like you have to curate? Where did that thought that you had to do that come from? You know, and it comes from all kinds of places, but it's really interesting to unpack. And I love, so spiritual direction is a very ancient practice. If you go to a liturgical church, you're more mm-hmm. used to it. They offer it mm-hmm. a lot of times. If you didn't grow up in those denominations, then it's very foreign to you. It would almost be seen as lay counseling. But spiritual direction has, a very ancient route back to the desert mothers and fathers that moved into Egypt when Rome began and the church there began to get in bed with government, and it wasn't what it was meant to be.
Right.
And so they moved away. Well, the people who stayed needed counsel.
Right.
So they would travel to sit with the desert fathers and mothers and say, I'm struggling with my spiritual life here. I don't know how to hear from God here. And yeah. they would kind of take them through the journey of spiritual formation. So it's a very ancient practice, which makes me feel like there's a constancy there in the practice of spiritual direction that mm-hmm. gives me a lot of confidence in its ability to help us see things more clearly in our That's spiritual right. life.
That's right. Well, I know just from the things that I've gotten to, you know, read from your emails and then participate in that Lent study, as I mentioned in the opening, you asked questions in a way that made me stop and really think about it. And I appreciated that because sometimes, you know, to be honest, if you're reading a devotion, it's got some questions at the end, like sometimes I absorb it.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, done, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's not
yeah.
good. That's not good. But I did feel like the questions, they resonated with my soul. You know, even if I don't remember exactly what they were, I remember how it made me feel in my mm-hmm. soul and made me sift through. And that's really what I love about this liturgical season coming up, the season of Lent, because once again, it is an ancient practice. It's mm-hmm. something that, you know, people in the church did, you know, as they were preparing for Easter. And I feel like now so many people, you know, when we try to share about our Lent study, they're like, oh, I didn't grow up in a denomination that practiced this. Like, mm-hmm. am I out? I'm like, absolutely. Just, you know, it's for everyone. And it is a sense of, in a way, I feel like the prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, those pillars of Lent, they do strip away at you and make you ask, you know, those questions of spiritual direction of, well, how do I need to listen mm-hmm. to the Holy Spirit right now? Where, and to feel the presence of the Lord. I just think it's a beautiful time to really draw near. And then it makes that Easter, that Holy Week, mm-hmm. it wraps you into it in mm-hmm. such a emotional, physical, it just, it embodies you, you know, and mm-hmm. you feel like mm-hmm. you are being able to really pay respect and then worship, you know, mm-hmm. fully on mm-hmm. Easter Sunday because yeah. of that journey that you've just mm-hmm. practiced and you've mm-hmm. gotten to experience and that intimacy that comes when you can draw near to the Lord. And mm-hmm. goodness, I mean, that should be every day, right? But mm-hmm. I do love how it is a season in the liturgical calendar. What are your thoughts on Lent and the beauty of it? And what have you learned from it?
I have a lot of thoughts on that. I did not grow up in a faith tradition that did Lent. And so it was always very foreign to me, honestly, up until just a few years ago. Right. And I began to go, okay, what is this really? I mean, we've all heard, okay, people are giving up this, they're giving up this, they're giving up that. But I always was like, well, why are they giving up anything? What does that mean? And why are they doing it? Or is this just another thing that we kind of do as the body of Christ where we just do it because we do it?
Right.
I've always had, maybe because I'm strong-willed inside, I've always had a hard time doing things just for the sake of doing them. Like, what's the purpose? Why are we doing, is this a bandwagon thing? Because I don't want my faith to be that.
Right.
You know, I feel like I spent so many years of my life, my young life and into a little bit of my early adulthood with that mentality. I didn't know any different. But then when I began to be more purposeful and intentional about why I did the things I did, and I started asking questions you're not encouraged to ask, that's when it began to be more personal for me. So I had started attending an Episcopal church during the week so that I could have communion, because the church that we were at the time, just, it was kind of like a seasonal thing. It wasn't like a constant thing. And through my spiritual direction training, I just began to really fall in love with the understanding of communion and prayer and wanted more of that. So they had a Lent service, a Ash Wednesday service. And so I went, and as a way of kind of like beginning my education about Lent, what is this? And why are we here? You know, and why are we doing this? I'm kind of like a toddler when it comes to questions, you know, why? And one of the things that I began to learn as I stepped into it, my first year was incredible experience. And then the other years was, first, it's different every year mm-hmm. for me. I realized that I wanted to bring this spiritual mentality to it, that I'm going to encapsulate what Lent is and what that experience is like, and I'm going to reproduce it every single year so that I get the same result.
Oh.
So that was very early on. The Spirit was like, yeah, that's not what we're doing here. first of all, I didn't ask you to do this, right? It's not in the scriptures. I didn't ask you to do this. This is something that I have led others to realize is very helpful as a time to kind of pull away from the world and re-examine.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of like a new year experience, mm-hmm. but within the church. What am I doing? Where am I going? How am I ignoring parts of my soul? Right. And so, because like I said, 1 year was this really great experience and another year felt clunky and mm-hmm. The things I'd read the year before weren't resonating. And I realized, oh, I'm trying to make this a formula because that's what I know. That's the spirituality that I knew, right? It's formulaic spirituality. You do this, and this is what happens, which is what brings people to me a lot because the formulas don't work anymore. You always hit something in your life at some point in your life where the formulas fail you. And some people dig into that and ask why, and other people leave.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I was. Do I want this to be a formula? And I thought, this is too beautiful of a thing to do that with. I want to let it be. Yes, I just had such a respect for this. And I was like, I want to just let this be, not control this, not micromanage my spiritual life in this way, to just let this be every year what it is. And if it's not this fantastical, mystical experience and that bothers me, then I sit with Jesus and I ask him why. Why does that bother me? Why do I need it to be that? Why do I need it to look a certain way? As I stepped into it, I began to realize for me, and I say that because it's not a formula, but for me, I needed to come into Lent very open-handed. What is your experience for me this year? What is it you want to show me through this? And that very quickly for me became a question of what am I going to lose, but what am I going to gain from this experience? Because a lot of it's focused on the things we give up. I mean, we're so proud of ourselves when we give up something.
So proud.
I mean, like, I'm not going to have coffee for 40 days. I'm pretty amazing spiritually, you know? It's like, we're so proud of ourselves for those things. And then I got to thinking, does he really care about that? You know, and then there's the scriptures in the Old Testament that say, I just want you to come to me with a pure heart. I don't care about what you're sacrificing. I care about the condition of your heart.
Right.
So I began to kind of like build my Lenten experience. That was its foundation. It's not about what I'm giving up. It's about the condition of my heart. So for me, that giving something up, that relinquishing of something that I hold dear, took on something different. Because what I hold dear, my desire to be right in everything, a lot stronger than I hold chocolate. I hold my tendency to want to hold people accountable in a way that is not always merciful and gracious way more than I hold a cup of coffee dear.
Right.
Or a Netflix series or all of these things that we give up that, quite frankly, I don't even think he's asking us to necessarily give up. I could be wrong. If that's someone's experience, then they need to follow that.
Right.
But for me, I began to realize it was the giving up was supposed to be something I actually hold pretty close to my chest, something I actually hold deeper in me. It was more of a, not a giving up, but a relinquishing of. And showing myself that for 40 days, every time I get to that experience, it's like fasting. It's true fasting. It prompts me to think about how my relationship with Jesus can open that area up in my life more. So when we fast, something that, say, is typical, especially in the American church, to fast, it's food, it's entertainment, it's things like that. When I fast those things, it's just like doing without it. It's really more willpower.
Right.
I'm just doing without it. Yeah, for like 40 days. But if mine is to speak softer, kinder words to my spouse, okay, then every time I go to do that, it's more of like a trigger point. Oh, I did that. It's not like, oh, I broke my fast. I did it. Yeah, you're going to. That's the point.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm going to try really hard to just be fake nice and fake sweet for 40 days. See, I did it. No. It's you are experiencing the fast because every time you step into that place, you are reminded how much you need the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus to make anything right at all in your life. You have no power to make anything right in your life.
Right.
You need the sacrifice of Jesus. You need the Spirit's work. And it makes you grateful that even in those places that are so hard to let go of, because they're woven into our hearts, they're woven, quite frankly, into our neural pathways.
That's right.
And the habits and the traumas and the ways of being and the imprints that are in our lives constantly that we're living out of. Every time you come face to face with that, there is a gratitude that you do not have to carry that enormous burden of fixing that. You have a Savior who already did. And then that begs the next question of how can I lean into that Savior more?
Right.
How can I tap this apparently untapped resource in this area of my life? Then you begin to go to Him for things you didn't think about going to Him for, an attitude, a heart posture, an unforgiveness. I think we're so afraid. We have such this idea of God as the hand slapper. And we are so afraid to, and I'm still there. I have to kind of like walk myself through that. What do I know of Him to be true? We have this fear of going to Him, opening ourselves up in this way, and then getting our hand slapped. And then shame comes in. Right? Instead of realizing that that's not who God is. His kindness is what leads us to repentance. His kindness.
I am compassionate. I am slow to compassion.
His that anger or that unforgiveness is actually a burden you carry that I want to lift and put on my shoulders for you. It's an invitation to rest. Lent to me is an invitation to rest. Confession is an invitation to rest. Get it out, get it over, get it off.
That's right.
You know, repentance is an invitation to rest. Everything in my ego says the complete opposite. And that's normal. That's called being a human being. You know, that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yes. Something that really stood out to me as you, I mean, many things stood out. I'm soaking it in right now, Amy. Thank you. But one of the things that you said was, you know, about the example with your spouse, you know, if you say an unkind word to him and then you think, oh no, but it's like, that is the posture of your heart and it's going to be challenged through this. And so this idea of, okay, I broke my fast and so I'm just done and I'm out, you know, that's not the mentality that we need to have. It's like, yes, you're going to break your fast because it's the condition of your heart. And that is constantly being molded and brought near to Christ. And so that's like a huge mindset shift. When you said that for me, I was like, yes, that's what I was feeling, but you put it into words. So thank you for that because it's so true. And I think that's where the, you know, I mean, yes, if someone wants to start with a physical thing, like I am going to fast chocolate, like the Lord's going to work through that, you know, but why and what is that posture of your heart and how can we continue to like strip away the layers to get to that place, you know, but everyone has a starting point on their journey. And many of us have this formula based mentality and performance-based mentality. And I think that's always been my struggle with Lent and, you know, I'm going to give this XYZ up for 40 days. It's then it goes almost to my performance and my, like you said, my willpower. And yes. That's not really what I'm trying to prove here, you know?
Yes. Well, and here's the thing that got me thinking when I started this journey was, you know, don't I want to come out of this experience with a little something more?
Right.
If I give up something that's more accessible, let's just say, and popular, to be mm-hmm. quite frank. I mean, this is what's most popular is giving up of these just, when I say smaller things in life, I mean, like, you know, a food or a drink or a form of entertainment or something like that. That's just kind of all we know that Lent is. Right. So that's where we start. Like you said, that's where we start. And there is nothing wrong with that as long as that is part of the heart experience.
Exactly.
Right. There's nothing wrong, period, with whatever you come to Lent with. If you come to Lent, you've come to Jesus. Right. So it's not like a that's wrong and this is right. It's a that's a place to start. But have you thought about this?
Right.
You know, have you thought about, do I want to come out of this refreshed, renewed, lighter, deeper? Mm-hmm. What is your goal at the end? When Easter is done, is it just a box? I did Lent and it felt good. It felt good to have some guidance through the season. It felt good to have a great devotional. It felt good. All those things are great. They're all still building up in your spiritual life. Mm-hmm. But just to be able to go into it as thoughtfully as we do Advent, mm-hmm. I feel like we go into Advent sometimes a lot more tender mm-hmm. and thoughtful mm-hmm. than we do Lent. Mm-hmm. And they're really, one is like the spring Advent and one is like the winter Advent in a way, right. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's this anticipation of how am I going to experience this season that reminds me of Jesus? And going into, I feel like we kind of brace ourselves for Lent and we relax into Advent.
Okay.
And so that tells me something about my spiritual experience. And then I say, why do I feel like I'm bracing myself for Lent? I have found that it is a softer experience to go into it directly from my heart. Mm. Jesus, what is it in my life that you are asking me to turn over to you?
Right.
That for me, I will be real honest, is a lot easier than giving up something like chocolate or tea or whatever. I just become obsessed that I can't have those things. I've tried that. That's just kind of my thing. It's like, oh, I can't have it. I can't have it. I can't have it. I can't. I'm just focused on what I can't have. What am I losing? Right. The other one helps me to focus on what could I possibly gain from this experience?
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, it doesn't feel as heavy.
That's right.
And when it's not as heavy, I can rest. When I rest, my heart opens. When my heart opens, I can hear. When I can hear, I can reflect. When I reflect, I can know.
Mm.
So it's just more of like a soft unfolding rather than, okay, oh gosh, it starts tomorrow. Let me go out and do all the things and, you know, which you can see in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm from Louisiana. This is, you know, it starts with Fat Tuesday.
Right.
Fat Tuesday is all about, let me go and throw myself at the mercy of the world, to everything I need to do and want to do, very hedonistic, and then stop the next day and be good for 40 days.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about being good. It's about remembering who is good.
That's right. I think too, in some ways, when you're comparing Lent to Advent, and this bracing of oneself, I think, again, going back to this good and not good, when we really sit and think and ask God, you know, well, what is it in my heart that I need to give to you? How do I need to open myself up to you? I think sometimes we're afraid of what the answer is going to be.
Yes.
And then we think, okay, has this thing become an idol? Is this thing what I turn to more than I turn to Jesus? Is Jesus going to take this thing away from me? You know, and I think that's fear-based, you know, that's not always, because as you said, that's not how God that's not how he works with us, you know. He isn't going to work with us through fear. And so I guess I just want to encourage people and myself, if I'm to be honest, when I'm examining my heart this Lent, to not be afraid to go there, mm-hmm. and not to fear what's going to take place on the other side. Because usually if there is something that we've been holding tightly, and we do allow ourselves to have open hands and to give it to Jesus, we come out so much, we come to this place of intimacy and kindness with him. As you mentioned before, like, he's not going to lead us to a place of destruction, I guess is what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's, you know, going into Lent is something I feel like we need to start preparing our hearts for before we get there. I mean, I do that with Advent as well. I begin to go, okay, what do I ask myself questions? What do I want to get out of this Advent experience this year? Because here's the thing, where am I at in my life this year? What restraints are on my time? Mm-hmm. What restraints are on my life? Mm-hmm. Sometimes during these seasons of Lent or Advent, we might be going through deep grief.
Right.
We might be going through despair. We might be going through disappointment. It might be a great year. We just experienced so much joy. Every year is different. Every season of this is different. And so we've got to take that into account, because that is where we will find him. One of my favorite quotes, it's by Paula D'Arcy, and I usually keep it right here at my desk. And it says, God comes to you disguised as your life.
Oh, I haven't heard that before.
Yes. God comes to you disguised as your life. Wow. What is going on in my life, in my world right now, that this experience of Lent could possibly speak to or hold for me or heal in me or comfort in me? And so that sometimes for me, that, because there's been a lot of just different things going on in my family through the years, that I can't come to this from a performance base because I've got nothing to bring anymore.
Right.
I'm exhausted from life. Yeah. I'm tired from life. I feel like I'm giving up things in life all the time. I feel like I'm trying to make things right and fix things in my life all the time. And then I come to this, and I'm like, oh gosh, even here, Lord, like, this is where we're supposed to rest. This is our soft place to land, right? And even the questions of, like you said so wonderfully, like, you know, what am I going to kind of, like, it's almost this thing of, how is he going to correct me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so afraid to know I'm actually doing something wrong. I mean, we all know that we are missing the mark. The Bible's clear about that, right? But we still have this pipe dream that we're maybe doing better than we think we are, and he's going to ruin that for us. And it's like, yeah, but those things are burdens, like I said earlier, to bear. What if he wants to release that? What if he wants to lighten the ship of our soul and throw some stuff overboard? What cargo am I carrying that's sinking my ship?
Mm-hmm.
How can I offer that during this season? Right. And just asking him, Lord, I'm going to Lent. You know, can you begin to show me what it is that you want from my heart? What is it, an area that I can let go? Because the fasting and stuff, it's all about letting go. What can I let go of and entrust into your hands for this season? You know, and we don't want it to be like, I'm done with Lent. That was great.
Right.
You know, we want it to be something that changes the way we move forward.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, a lot of the women who we are in community with, you know, we're busy. We are on the go. I mean, I think every woman has her thing, you know, but in the season of life that I'm in with young children and all the, you know, chaperoning and escorting and all the things. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes women think, I can't add, like, I don't even have time to go to that place, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm too busy mm-hmm. to even, you know, try to attempt Lent because I know I'm going to fail. You know, like, those are just right. some of the, I think.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Lies that we tell ourselves, but this coming to God and just saying, oh, you know, like, what is the condition of my heart and what can you lighten from my ship? What can you take mm-hmm. off of it to help, you know, carry my burden and, you know, the weariness that I feel? I think that's a different approach to it as well. And it's a way for us to say, like, this is going to help me through this season of caring for young children, you know, or this is going to help me connect to my husband. Or this is going to help me as I, you know, I'm going from my job to picking up at childcare. And then, you know, we're eating fast food again, you know, like all those things that mm-hmm. yeah. mom, I think, feels guilty about, you know, but it's really one of those things that we're going to know, just like you said, with spiritual direction, like God is with you, like you're not alone, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
so I think that's absolutely. My encouragement, you know?
Yes. Like it's worth and to
do it.
Yes. And even looking at Lent as like, if they're using your guides and things like mm-hmm. that and saying, okay, what do I have the capacity for? Right. Because it's going to be chock full of amazing guides and questions and things to step into and lean into. Okay. So if you're like the overachiever type A, you're going to feel like, I am not going to be having successful Lent if I do not do every question, every verse, every everything.
Right. Right.
And then you have someone who looks at it and goes, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
But what if instead we leaned into the Holy Spirit and said, what of all of this is mine for this season? What if I just do what I can do led by the Holy Spirit? Maybe mm-hmm. I look at that and go, I think I could read the verse every day. I could probably do that. I'm gonna screenshot mm-hmm. it, take it to work. And on my break, I'm going to look up the scripture and I'm going to think about it for a few minutes. Maybe it's, I think I could ask the questions and do the journaling. I think I'd like to do that. That's what I do. I just sit with that. Maybe right. it's someone has, maybe 2 days a week, you have time for all of it. The rest you don't.
Right.
And you just go, no worries. I get to keep this guy. And guess what? It comes every year. Next year, I might be able to do more. But one of the things that we've built to do as women and as mothers is to extend kindness to ourselves.
Mm. Yes.
We tell our friends, we tell our children, you can only do so much. Just do what you can do. Do your best. Do your best. And then we turn around and expect utter perfection from ourselves, doing all the things all the time at the same time. We're not kind to ourselves.
No.
And so maybe one of those, excuse me, kindnesses that can lead us to the repentance that Lent can offer us is doing what we can do and letting it be enough. Because I feel very confident in saying this, Kristen, that if Jesus was looking at this and it was like, I can completely go all in for Lent, or I can just sit with you during this season and just sit with you and think about you and maybe even think about what you endured. And that's all I can do. He would rather us do that than any checklist, any guide, any, you know, 157,000 types of Christian materials for any of this, right? That what he wants is us. The beauty is the things that you've created or that I create are there to help lead us to him.
Absolutely.
But if that's leading us away from him, it's defeating the purpose.
That's right. That's right. Take what you can do.
Yes.
And sit. I mean, that's the most important thing. You don't even need
it is.
Really just yes. daily sit with Jesus, and that's how your soul is going to feel his presence, and that unfolding of his heart begins to happen. That's so true. That's so wise. Oh my goodness. I could talk to you for hours.
I agree. I
really feel, really through any conversation that we have, you give me a lot to think about personally. So I know the people who listen to this, it's going to just enrich their souls so deeply. So thank you. I guess as we kind of close, one question I like to ask is, where do you find rest? Like, what makes you full these days? What's a fun thing for you to find rest right now?
That's a really interesting question at this season of my life. for a lot of reasons. But one is that I've recently been challenged and encouraged by Jesus to kind of reevaluate those places in my life and ask how many of those places of rest are more escapes.
Right.
And how many of those times are true rest in him.
Right.
Because I am an ambivert. I am an introvert in an extroverted life. And so I need to sit and refuel, not only to just refuel with Jesus, but to just have my sanity. I call it putting two sentences together in my head.
Yes.
And so a lot of times I pull away in the name of solitude, but my mind is all over the place.
Yeah. I'm there too.
Right. But typically what I have been led to do the last several years of my life is I need to get out in nature. Mm-hmm. I have a list. I have a running list in my notes section in my phone of gardens all over the state of Florida. Going and walking in a garden or going to an art museum, going where I'm surrounded by beauty because my heart is energized and connection happens quicker for me surrounded in beauty, because when I'm in it, my heart rests. I rest. Like, there's something that comes down, because when I do those things, I have to be completely present.
Mm-hmm.
It captivates me in a way that makes me very present. And then as I'm present, I'm able to find the spirit with me in that moment. And in that moment, all the other things that were and the things that are to come kind of like get pushed to the side. And then I'm able to be present, and then I'm able to hear better. So for me, rest is connected to being able to listen. It's a, you know, so those are the things for me that soften that clamor, and I can hear better.
Ah, that's awesome. Well, you'll have to let us know which gardens you go to. We're in Alabama, so we are more in the panhandle of Florida. That's where we normally visit. But you're right, Florida is a beautiful state with tons of places for you to enjoy nature. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And then as we close, how can people, if they are like, okay, this Lent or this year, I think I want to learn more about the spiritual direction stuff. Like, how can they get connected with you, and what are maybe some things that you're offering right now for people?
Well, one of the ways, the best way, is to just go and go to my Linktree, which I'm sure you'll have all that in your notes and stuff. And it's all listed there. I have buttons for, you know, you can do spiritual direction if they want to do an online experience with, they're dealing with some trauma that they're feeling in their body. I can help with that. I also did a course called Sacred Dust, and it's about embodying your faith and what it's like to use your body as part of your faith. That they can find me there. They can find my Substack.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm just doing some things like that. I don't have anything right now as far as group spiritual direction, because I'm working on tweaking that a little bit and offering things mainly for moms. That's kind of where my heart is right now, especially since I've become a grandmother and I'm watching young women do that journey. I just have a new fresh heart for that. But if they link up to the newsletter, you know, all those kinds of things, when that stuff comes out, it'll be there. But right now, my biggest offering is just individual spiritual direction.
Well, I highly recommend linking to your newsletter, because when I see it, I'm like, oh, what's Amy got for us today? So that's how I found you too, which is so cool. I mean, it works. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
And I'll be sure to provide all those links. And again, just thank you for your wise words. And you really, as we were talking, I just felt like some of the tension that I didn't even know I was carrying this morning. Mm-hmm. Like it just dissipated a little bit, because it made me remember, you reminded me about the love that Jesus has for us. And so thank you for that. That was really beautiful. And I just am so excited for people to continue to start this journey and be praying for them. And I thank you for your time today too.
Thanks. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon, Amy.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Restful Projects podcast.
When you join our seasonal learning community, you will receive weekly encouragement and seasonal wellness tips that will help you fight fatigue and live life fully.
Plus, you'll receive fun perks and discounted event pricing, so you're not going to want to miss out. Trust me. You can learn more about The Restful Project at our website, therestfulproject.com, or you can join our private Facebook group, which is The Restful Project Seasonal Learning Community. You can also keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Restful Project. Thanks again. Have a great day. Bye.